Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you are all keeping well today and that you had a great weekend. Okay, on today's show, we have some interesting information about type 2 diabetes and also some ways and strategies that might help your New Year's resolution to give up smoking prove successful. And we'll go into those in a little bit. I have with me this morning my special guest, Maureen Chiana. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Maureen is from Apogee Skills. And in about half an hour, we're going to find out more about what Maureen does, which I find quite fascinating, which is the art of neuroscience. So I'm looking forward to finding out more about what Maureen does and also how it can help me and potentially help you too. So a bit of housekeeping before we crack on with the show. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered. It's designed to help to educate you, to inform you, and to enlighten you about ways that you can improve your own health with simple tips and advice. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing any medical advice. All the content on the show is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, and often my opinion. The content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. And if you have any concerns about your general health, please contact your medical or health professional, which often can be, in the first case, your pharmacist and not necessarily your doctor, or you can call 111 with any concerns. I specifically disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So now we've got the small print out of the way, let's crack on. We have music today from 1991. As regular listeners may know, I tend to pick a year. And I'm going to take you back to 1991 with some great songs from Simply Red, from Michael Jackson, and also from Jazzy Jeff, which will be really interesting. So let's make a start. Smoking, it's often people's New Year's resolution to get healthier, to perhaps lose some weight, to give up smoking. And I admire anyone that sets that as a goal, not just perhaps in January, but at any time of the year. However, one of the challenges of a New Year's resolution is actually keeping to it, which proves for most people to be incredibly difficult. So I've got a few tips here. If your New Year's resolution is to give up smoking, and we all know the reasons why we should give up smoking, and I'm sure if you're a smoker, you're probably a bit sick to death of hearing all the reasons you should give up smoking. So I'm going to focus on the positives, and I'm going to focus on some strategies that might be able to help you actually succeed in your quest and your resolution to give up smoking this time around. I will also focus on the benefits of giving up smoking. So we're not going to focus on the negatives, we're going to focus on the benefits. So one of the most important things to actually look at before you start any resolution is to look at your reason why. Whether you're losing weight, whether it is giving up smoking, you need a really strong reason why. And that reason or reasons needs to be stronger and more motivating than the urge to smoke. So this could be your family, it could be your general health, it could be the desire to feel better, perhaps. Whatever your reason, you know, maybe to look younger, maybe to have better looking skin. Whatever it is, your reason needs to be stronger than the urge to smoke. And that's really fundamental. Before you start that process of giving up smoking, you should look at the options around you to help you. So things like the NHS's One You Shop. The NHS has a smoke-free website as well, and they also have a really good app to motivate you and to keep you on track. There are quit smoking classes, there are counselling classes, there are support classes, there's medication that you can talk to your GP about, and also other methods like hypnosis, for example. So it really is horses for courses. It really depends on what your motivation is and what works for you. But there's lots of options out there to help you. And one of the hardest things to do is to go it alone. So look at the support mechanism that's already, or mechanisms that are already in place, and take advantage of the ones that you feel are going to be most helpful and most relevant for you. consider nicotine replacement therapy. Now, nicotine is obviously a drug, and a bit like other drugs, and also, you know, when we go on to weight gain, things like sugar, these substances are incredibly addictive, and it's very difficult to break that habit on your own. And it might well be that you do need nicotine replacement therapy for a period of time to actually counteract the effects of that withdrawal. Other things you can consider is actually looking at your friends and family for support. It's really important that you tell them what you're doing. You know, having their support and having them to help you to remain on track and remain motivated is incredibly empowering. Consider behavioural therapy or join a support group. You know, there's lots of support groups out there to help you. And also find ways to relax. People tend to use smoking as a way to relax and to chill out. And, you know, finding other ways to relax is actually quite important. And things like exercise, looking at listening to music or going to concerts, taking time out with friends, that's really good as well. And also things like finding a new hobby or taking up massage therapy or whatever it is that really, really helps you, find that way to relax. Avoiding alcohol is also important because alcohol is a real trigger for smokers. So when you drink, people that smoke tend to associate drinking with smoking. So if your association with smoking and alcohol is strong, then perhaps try to cut down on alcohol or maybe to give it up for a time being whilst you break that habit. Because it can be a behavioural habit, a bit like smoking after a meal. Try to do something instead. Clean your house and clean your car. If you've got a residual smell of smoke in your house or in your car, that can increase the cravings of smoking. So clean like your carpets, clean your curtains, clean the upholstery in your house, clean your clothes, clean your car. Get rid of all that smoking, that smoke smell, because that smoke smell will increase the cravings to smoke. Don't give up. Lots of people try once, and you know they don't succeed on the first attempt, and that can be incredibly discouraging. But not many people actually do achieve their goal of giving up smoking on the first attempt. So don't give up. Use that resolve to become stronger next time, and give it another go until actually you do succeed. Exercise is another way to help give up smoking. So being active can help you to curb those nicotine cravings. And also one of the things that people are concerned about when they give up smoking is the weight gain. And obviously burning some extra calories, doing some extra exercise can offset any potential weight gain that you might incur as you give up smoking. Don't diet when you're trying to give up smoking, because actually dieting and giving up smoking at the same time can just be too much for your body to take. My advice would be, rather than count calories, why not just eat more healthy? So if you're looking to give up smoking, make it your goal to eat more healthy and to not diet. And the money that you spend on cigarettes, and you know, cigarettes now are quite expensive, why not put that money aside and look forward to treating yourself? Perhaps have a pamper day, or maybe if you're a heavy smoker and you spend a lot of money on cigarettes, perhaps put that towards a holiday, that's something to look forward to, or maybe put that money towards a new car, which is something to look forward to as well. And it's never too late to give up smoking. This is one of the things that's really important. Wherever you are, however long you've been smoking for, it's never too late. So here's some really interesting facts of what happens to your body once you start to give up smoking, once you stop smoking. So 12 hours after you quit smoking, the carbon monoxide levels in your blood begin to drop back to normal. 2 weeks to 3 months after quitting smoking, your heart attack risk begins to drop and your lung function begins to improve. 1 to 9 months after quitting smoking, your coughing and shortness of breath decrease. 1 year after quitting smoking, your risk of coronary artery disease is half that of a smoker's. So your risk of heart disease drops by 50% compared to a smoker's. 5 years after quitting smoking, the risk of stroke is reduced to that of a non-smoker's. 10 years after quitting smoking, your lung cancer death risk is about half that of a smoker's, and the risk of cancers of the mouth, the throat, the esophagus, the bladder, the kidneys, and also the pancreas decreases. And 15 years after quitting smoking, your risk of heart disease is back to normal and that of a non-smoker. So wherever you are, you've got to look at these long-term health benefits. And it's not just the long-term. You know, some of these benefits can be felt in just months after quitting smoking. And other benefits of quitting smoking, so you can enjoy improved heart health, improved lung health, improved circulatory health, improved oral health, the reduced risk of cancer, and also type 2 diabetes. And we're going to come on to type 2 diabetes in about 10 minutes. And obviously with type 2 diabetes, there are other complications that go alongside that condition. You can extend your life expectancy. You can enjoy an improved immunity. You have improved taste and smell. You have healthier skin. And also one of the things to consider is the health of those around you. So, you know, your direct family, your spouse, your children, and even your pets can benefit from you giving up smoking. So where do you go from here? Well, if you started on that journey to give up smoking, that's fantastic, and I admire that. And I admonish you to keep going. And, you know, the end goal is worth it. But things like counselling, look at options for counselling. There's options for hypnotherapy. As I mentioned, if you talk to your GP, you can talk about medication to help you come off and nicotine replacement therapy. There are support classes. As I mentioned, there is the One You Shop, which is a fantastic NHS initiative. There's also the NHS website, which is www.nhs.uk/smokefree. And there's also the NHS Smoke Free app, which is on Android and iOS, which you might want to download for free and actually benefit from that too. So there's lots of reasons to give up smoking. There's lots of benefits to giving up smoking. And there's lots of ways to give up smoking. And it really is an individual choice as to the route that you take. But, you know, pick a route that works for you or routes that work for you and stick with it, because the benefits are definitely worth it without doubt. So, as I mentioned, we've got some music from 1991 this morning on the show. And we're going to kick off. The evenings are getting lighter and summer's on its way. So I thought I'd pick a song to get us in the summer mood from 1991. It's Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And for those of you that don't remember Will Smith, he did have a music career before he became an actor. And he was indeed the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And we have Summertime. I hope you enjoy it.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what habit is, the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, I play
place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Court yet, hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin'. Leaning to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest this morning, Maureen Chiana. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
We'll be interviewing Maureen in about 10 or 15 minutes and finding out more about what she does. You can tweet into the show if you go to Twitter. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. So you can tweet in to say hi. You can ask a question. You can ask for a shout out. It'd be really good to hear from you. You can also follow the show's Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, then you'll be able to like the page and be kept up to date with show information. And you can also find me and contact me through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. We've had a couple of tweets come in and a few shout-outs, so I'm gonna mention a few of these this morning. We have a tweet from Sevenoaks TP, Sevenoaks Town Partnership, who's asked for a shout-out for their wellbeing show at the Stag Plaza in Sevenoaks on Friday the 18th of May, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and it is free entry as well. So that's in Sevenoaks at the Stag Plaza on Friday the 18th of May. And you can contact the Sevenoaks Town Partnership through their Twitter feed, which is at Sevenoaks TP. I also had a tweet from A Better Medway. And A Better Medway have said that next Monday, which is the 5th of February, they have an event in conjunction with At Screen Cancer UK at the IC Medway for World Cancer Day. So lots of health information and raising awareness and funds for cancer research. And again, A Better Medway is on Twitter at A Better Medway. So their event's on the 5th of February, which is next Monday. I'd also like to mention the Wellbeing Symposium. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of interviewing Miranda Chapman from Pillory Balm. Miranda is a co-founder of the Wellbeing Symposium, which is happening in Ashford on the 21st of February. And if you'd like to find out more about the Wellbeing Symposium, you can go to their website, which is www.wellbeing.com. the wellbeingsymposium.co.uk, where you can find out more about the symposium and you can get tickets. You can also find them on Twitter, which is at wellbeing_2018. So at wellbeing_2018. And also today, which is the 29th of January, the One You Shop, and as I mentioned earlier on, the One You programme is a great initiative by the NHS. The One You Shop in Ashford has an open day for local businesses. So it's part of their workplace health programme to help provide a happier working environment for staff. And what they're going to do is from 10 till 4 today, that's the 29th of January, they're going to give you advice. If you're a business owner or you're a senior decision maker, they're going to give you free advice on how you can support your staff in the healthy workplace. And they'll also provide you with a free personal NHS mini health check. So pop down to the One You Shop, which is in Park Mall, which if you know where Ashford is, it's just around the corner from the Tank. Pop down there today between 10 and 4 and then explain more about the free services that they offer to provide health in the workplace. And also had a tweet in from Kent Sport on Twitter, at KentSport1. And they mentioned about their workplace challenge. So go on to Twitter, look at KentSport1, that's the number one, and find out more about their workplace, healthy workplace challenge, which is fantastic. Health in the workplace is the thing of the moment, and a very worthy program it is as well. So diabetes, as those of you that will know me, I'm a great advocate of the prevention, particularly of type 2 diabetes. And the reason why is we have a growth of type 2 diabetes in the UK. In 1996, there were 1.4 million people with type 2 diabetes. And that's now risen to over 4 million in little over 20 years, which is a huge increase. And it's estimated that there's around 700 people a day are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And there's around 600,000 people in the UK with undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. It's a very insidious disease. It can develop over a period of many, many years, anything up to 10 years. And the big problem is with type 2 diabetes is that by the time it actually manifests in symptoms, so for example, you might get blurred vision and not be sure the reason why you're getting blurred vision, and then go to your doctor and be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Because it takes so long to manifest, it does a lot of damage in the meantime before it's actually diagnosed. So for a few minutes, I'm just going to go through some of the potential symptoms of type 2 diabetes. Now, this isn't to scare anyone, and it doesn't mean that if you actually associate with one or two of these symptoms that you have type 2 diabetes. But you might be able to recognise a few of these symptoms, and it might prompt you to maybe go and have your blood sugars checked by your pharmacist or maybe your doctors, just to rule it out. Because again, you know, type 2 diabetes remains undiagnosed in most people for a long, long time. So some of the symptoms of type 2 diabetes that you may be able to recognise: increased thirst. You get thirsty because you end up urinating a lot, and you end up urinating a lot because it's your body's way of getting rid of excess blood sugar. Once your blood sugars reach a certain level, your kidneys kick in because your body's unable to manage this increase in blood sugar internally. So your kidneys kick in as a way to get rid of blood sugars, this excess sugar through your urine. And as a consequence of urinating more to get rid of the blood sugars, you become more thirsty. So if you've noticed an increase in thirst and an increase in going to the toilet a lot, possibly a symptom of type 2 diabetes. A dry mouth. If you've got a dry mouth, that's obviously associated with thirst as well. That could be a symptom. If you have unexplained weight loss, that could be a symptom of advanced type 2 diabetes. If you have itching, shall we say down below, that can be a symptom of type 2 diabetes. It can be a symptom of high glucose levels in the blood. because high glucose levels then provide the perfect breeding ground for bacteria and yeast infections. If you've got an increased level of fatigue, if you're tired a lot, that can be a symptom. If you have headaches, that can be a symptom. If you have blurred vision, the increase in blood sugars can actually cause the lens in your eyes to swell, which can cause temporary blurred vision. That can be a symptom as well. If you have got cuts and grazes and maybe they've taken a bit longer than normal to heal, maybe something to look at. And if you've got unexplained nausea or vomiting, that can also be a symptom of type 2 diabetes. So in isolation, these aren't anything necessarily to worry about. If you are concerned, you can talk to your pharmacist, you can talk to your doctors, you can phone 111 and get some advice. But there might be symptoms there that you can recognise, maybe two, maybe three or more, that might make you think perhaps it's just worth going to have a check with your doctor or with your pharmacist just to rule it out. Because again, type 2 diabetes can remain undiagnosed. And you know, if it is an issue for you, if you've got impaired glucose tolerance or you have advanced type 2 diabetes, then it's definitely worth getting checked out and obviously then taking the necessary steps to try to deal with it and manage the symptoms. Other things to consider: if you drink lots of sugary drinks, then that can lead to type 2 diabetes. And also there is research that artificially sweetened drinks can also contribute to diabetes. Many people think that by cutting out sugary drinks and drinking drinks without sugar in, but with sweeteners in, is a better choice. But there's research that maybe suggests otherwise. If you've got a big belly, now visceral fat, so fat around the abdomen, can lead to insulin resistance, and insulin resistance can lead to type 2 diabetes. So ideally your waistline should be half of your height. So if you're 6 foot tall, as an example, 72 inches, then your waistline ideally shouldn't be more than 36 inches. Just something to consider there. If you have a family history of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, then you know your risk can increase, and that's worth getting checked out. And also, if you don't do much exercise, that can also lead to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. So it's definitely worth getting checked out. Ways to prevent type 2 diabetes: have a better diet, improve your diet, so less sugar, less refined or simple carbohydrates. Lose some body fat or body weight, particularly around the belly. And also taking things like a brisk walk every day or doing high-intensity training. So these are short bursts of exercise with a rest period in between. That can be quite a good method to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. And some of the things that type 2 diabetes, or some of the systems of the body that type 2 diabetes affects, things like the heart, it increases the risk of cardiovascular issues. It causes a hardening in the arteries. It puts a lot of strain on the heart. The eyes, we've mentioned, retinopathy can lead to blindness. And in fact, type 2 diabetes is the leading cause of blindness for working age people in the UK. So it is quite a serious condition. It also affects the feet and the nervous system. So high blood sugar damages the nerves, which means that they don't work as efficiently to conduct the impulses that give you feeling. So, you know, pain, burning sensation, tingling. And if that's not dealt with, that can actually lead to long-term numbness. So I'd like to just leave you with the thought that if you can recognise some of those symptoms, say thirst, dry mouth, going to the toilet a lot, unexplained weight loss, genital itching, fatigue, blurred vision, slow healing of cuts, they don't necessarily mean you have type 2 diabetes. But if you can recognise a few of those symptoms, you might want to consider talking to your pharmacist or your doctor, or phoning 111 for some advice. Okay, so coming back to the theme of 1991, which was a great year, we've got some more music. This was a song that came out in 1991. It's Simply Red and Stars, and it was a great album, and I hope you enjoy it.
is explaining the way I'm feeling for all the jealousy I caused you. The snake's the reason why I'm trying to hide. As for all the things you taught me, it sends my future into clearer dimensions.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. If you'd like to get in contact with me via Twitter, the show's Twitter page is at Health Radio Show. And if you use the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show, I'll be able to find your tweets, ask for a shout-out, just say hi, or perhaps tweet in and ask a question. If I can't answer the question on today's show, then I'll give you a shout-out next week. You can also find the show's Facebook page, which is Health Matters Radio Show. So if you search Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page. And please like it, follow it, and I'll give you lots of up-to-date information about future shows. You can also contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Okay, so now we're going to come on to my special guest's interview. And today we have Maureen Chiana. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, Neil.
It's great to see you this morning.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Maureen is from Apogee Skills. So let's start with the obvious question, Maureen. What does Apogee Skills mean?
Apogee Skills means getting to the highest point in the development of something.
Okay.
So basically getting to the climax of whatever you're doing, which could be your learning, which could be your career, which could be taking your business to the climax. So it's really learning to be the best.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic. So what is your, what's your background? How did you get to where you are today?
Right, my background started off as a biomedical scientist working in pathology in the hospital, got an MSc in microbiology, and then ended up as a research assistant. I've done a lot of research on HIV and asthma allergies, and became a lecturer after that. So I've kind of changed careers quite a bit because in the late 90s, just before the millennium, I ended up becoming a Microsoft certified systems engineer in IT.
Okay.
So I, you know, and then after the millennium, I kind of felt, you know what? The world didn't end. Y2K did not end the world. So it's time to jump. And that was when I opened a business, it's hair and beauty salon. So I'm a member of the International Health and Beauty Council as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after that that I became a coach and mentor. And now I work as a public speaker as well. I do a lot of training on what we're going to talk about now, which is on the neuroscience of mindset.
Fantastic. And it's quite interesting that you mentioned the millennium bug.
Mm.
I do remember December the 31st, 1999.
That's
You know, there was the scares that the world was going to stop and planes were going to fall out of
exactly.
the sky. And there were some companies that made huge amounts of money selling software that potentially we didn't need, arguably. So, yes, so quite a varied and interesting career. And obviously that's led you to where you are now. You mentioned that you do training and you do public speaking and public speaking training as well. Mm. And now your main field is neuroscience?
Yeah, so what I do, the main thing is I'm a neuro leadership and resilience expert. So focusing on how to be an effective leader and also to be resilient by leveraging on the neuroscience of mindset. So really making your brain work smarter for you. So what I do really is helping leaders, and a leader could be a leader in an organization. It could be a business owner, an entrepreneur. So what I do is give you the skills by making your brain work smarter to achieve rapid, measurable, sustained improvement through, you know, your knowledge, through experience and motivation as well. And just help you increase your outcomes, to make your outcomes positive, either your organization or your business.
Wow. That's quite deep, isn't it?
yeah, kind of. I think the whole thing about what I do is purely science. It's looking at the science of the brain. How does your brain work, and how can I make my brain work smarter for me?
And it is estimated that we only use, is it 5% of our brain or something along those lines?
It varies, you see, because the whole concept of the brain is that if you don't use part of your brain, or you don't use your brain effectively, the bit you don't use will keep diminishing or disintegrating. So what you need to do, which is the whole new science of neuroplasticity, and what that really means is making your brain grow. So you know how you've got, it's basically saying that your brain is plastic. It right. can expand.
Mm-hmm.
You know the whole idea before that, if you don't learn, you know, if you don't know something now, when you're older, there's no way, you don't have no chance of learning. Or if you're born in a certain way, either born to be talented in sports or you're great at maths, and if you're not, that's
music,
it.
Or
that,
yeah.
whatever. Mm-hmm. All that has now been proven to be false.
Wow.
Because science has now shown that you can actually make your brain grow. So structurally, you can change the brain, you know, by feeding it or in making, you know, actually getting it to learn different skills. You can actually structurally change the way it looks.
So regardless of your age, there's always scope to improve.
Absolutely. And in fact, they've shown that learning, even when you're older, prevents things like Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
And that's because what you're doing is creating new neural pathways, making the brain grow, you know. And it's just like in the winter, you know, when the leaves all fall out and the tree looks bare. That's what it looks like when you don't use your brain. And in the summer, when you've got so many leaves and they're all growing, that's what a normal, healthy brain should look like.
And it is quite scary that lots of people, once they leave school, they don't continue to learn. They think that they're learning for their life. It happens during their school years. I know lots of people that haven't picked up a book since they've left school. And it is actually quite sad. And it is true, absolutely. You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And I'm a great advocate of the prevention of things, the neurological illnesses like Alzheimer's and dementia and what have you.
Mm.
And it is a case, I think, of use it or lose it. And I think it's a great way to keep the mind active.
Yeah.
To learn new skills, to learn new abilities. And the offsetting things like Alzheimer's and dementia for, you know, for later life, I think is a bonus. Yeah. I really do.
Absolutely.
So people will perhaps not necessarily understand at the moment neuroscience, although they will do by the end of your interview. Mm-hmm. But some people would have heard of NLP. Can you explain to me, because as we mentioned, we were talking pre-show, and you said to me that neuroscience is different to NLP.
Yes,
can you explain to our listeners what the difference between the two are?
Okay, I don't know too much about NLP, but the main thing about NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So it's actually the science of the brain, but more with communication. So linguistics, how you use communication with the science of the brain. But what I do in neural leadership is actually focusing purely on the science of the brain. So how does the brain work? And using what we're learning from science to actually make a difference. So for example, earlier you were talking about giving up smoking. A lot of people try to give up smoking but struggle. What I train people to do is now looking at the science of setting those goals to enable you achieve them. And that goal would be smoking. And you said the right thing. What is the why? Why do you want to give up smoking? Mm. That meaning has to be, you know, it has to have a very important meaning to you.
Yeah.
It has to be powerful. It really has to be strong. If not, the brain won't engage with it. And that's why most times people set goals and don't achieve them, because they are focusing on the motivation and forgetting that the actual preparation to achieve that goal is actually more important. So it's actually looking at the why and the how, and also looking at the limiting beliefs that you already have that could hold you back, because you will come across challenges as you start trying to give up smoking. Things will come. There'll be temptations. There'll be times you might even fall off the wagon and start smoking. But the key is to go back to those goals that you set, the reason why, the preparations you've made, and then you can then get back on track to stop, you know, to actually help you stop it. Because the fact is that it's a habit.
Yeah.
And changing a habit is difficult, and it's acknowledging that it's difficult that creates the, you know, the actual ability to stop, to make that change.
Yeah.
And what you do with the brain is to start changing those habits. And it's by what you're telling yourself, those self-talks you're telling yourself, I can do this. If you keep telling yourself or focusing on why you can't, then you can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could go on and on, yeah, so I better stop myself.
And you touched on limiting beliefs. Yeah. You know, we each have our own map of the world, and our map is limited by our own beliefs, our own imagination. And when you expand that map, it opens up new areas and new avenues for you. But I agree also about the habits. It is incredibly difficult to break habits, whether it's smoking or whether it's habitual behaviour or whether it's dietary habits. But the more that you succeed in working at breaking those habits, the more success you'll have at actually breaking the habit in the long term.
Absolutely. Because you see, when you're changing a habit, you've already got a habit that has been formed already in the brain, which is the smoking. So you've got those pathways. So what you're doing is creating new ones, which is not smoking. So what you're doing in essence is, as you focus on creating these new ones, the ones that are not being used, there's a part in the brain, which is the basal ganglia, they will start to disintegrate. You start, because you're not using them, so you start losing them.
Okay.
You know, so what you're doing is creating the new ones, and that's why it's best to focus on the new habit and not on the old one. Because if you focus on, I don't want to smoke, I want to give up smoking, what you're doing is really enforcing those old habits.
Yeah.
But what you're focusing on, this is the new habit. You know, I enjoy not smoking. This is the reason why I'm not smoking. You're creating new neural pathways. And it takes about, about 14 days to change, to rewire the brain.
Yeah.
You know, because we talked about the neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually change it from becoming just, you know, a neural pathway that's been changed to a habit, you should give yourself at least 120 days, so at least 3 good months before you can start. But it doesn't stop there. It's the determination to carry on that will take you through till you know that it's now, you're on autopilot, basically, till it's not that new you know, new way becomes a habit,
yeah.
then you know that, okay, yeah, it's now effortless. And that's the part you want to get to.
And I think you touched on a really important point there about when you want to create new habits, you focus on the positive things of that new habit,
yes.
rather than the negative things of that new habit.
Yeah, that's really important because the subconscious brain, which has all your experiences and all the habits and everything, doesn't know the difference between past and present. As far as it knows, anything you tell it is present. So if you're focusing on the old ones, it will help you achieve that. So if you're saying, I want to give up smoking, I don't want to do this smoking, what it would do is give you all the reasons why you should keep smoking, because it's trying to keep you safe. And it's safe is it's known. It's what it knows. And it will give you all the reasons why you should keep smoking. Or even, you know, finding you notice everyone that is smoking and why you're not. Uh-huh. So you need to focus on what you want to achieve,
yeah.
as opposed to what you don't want to.
So looking ahead at the benefits and the goal rather than looking backwards.
Backwards, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, kind of you're driving,
yeah.
looking forward and using your mirror just kind of to flash back at, okay, this is the part, you know, but yeah. you're not really, because basically if you're driving and you're looking in the mirror backwards, you're going to crash.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really good analogy. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's looking forward, but occasionally you can look back to remind you of, okay, no, I don't really want to go there. That's what's happening behind me, but this is where I'm going.
Yeah, very interesting. And it makes sense as well. So how can empowerment help people? And what successes have you had with some of your clients?
Okay, right. The main thing about empowerment, it enables people to literally bring their brains to work or into their business, mm-hmm. so that I kind of say it's getting back in control of your life, getting back in the driver's seat of your life. And that's what will help you to now make those important decisions effectively, like problem solving, looking at things like short-term memory. Now, I've got a few clients that I've worked with. Some of them were already in employment that wanted to move up to another level, but were so petrified because they had told themselves that they're not good enough or they were not qualified enough. And what I've done through coaching is really working with people. You know, I've got a particular lady who now went for the promotion that she had put off for years and is now doing so well. But it's that whole self-doubt, you know, self-sabotage that a lot of people hold themselves back. I have another client that was stuck in her business and really needed to take it to a new level, but was so scared to increase the prices because of the fear, oh, people will not pay. So it's really helping people change their limiting beliefs. Mm. You know, and I always say it's change those limiting beliefs to enable you become limitless. You know, and that's what I really enjoy doing. It's really helping people to achieve what they really desire to achieve and get them really out of the comfort zone, you know, into where they really desire to be and live the life that they truly desire to live and enjoy the results, the profitability in their businesses that they really want. You know, I've done a few work with leaders in organizations that were struggling. There's a company I went into and there was completely problems in their teams. And what I did is went in, worked with the teams and got the leader actually leading effectively. You know, and I call it neuro leadership, kind of using their brain to lead, bringing in coaching style into their leadership and getting the team to form better relationships, you know, by connecting, really being empathetic with the people that they're serving. And it's made a whole difference. Results went up almost instantly, you know, really looking, because then they were able to connect better with their customers.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's, and sometimes it's all it takes is just listening to people to find out what they want. But a lot of people are so results driven that they forget that, you know, it's the human beings that are working with you. Once you have them on board, that's how the battle won.
Wow. So. It is interesting that obviously leadership in any business is important. Mm-hmm. And lots of companies invest in the skills
exactly
required to do the job of their staff.
Yeah.
But don't necessarily invest as much time or money in the skills of the leaders.
Exactly.
And again, not just the skills of the leaders to do their job, but the skills of their leaders to lead. and to motivate their staff. And
absolutely.
I think companies that recognise that are the ones that are moving forwards, because it is an investment. It's not a cost.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that you could probably work out an increase on the bottom line and profitability and productivity.
Yes.
Directly correlates to the investment in improving leadership skills.
Absolutely. And it makes such a difference, because you see, once you really engage with the people, what you're getting from them is the goodwill. And also, you know, with empowerment, it's actually letting people think.
Yep.
You know, letting people's experience, instead of telling them, do this, do this, do this, you're actually using their brains, letting them use their brains, which in most times you'll find there's a lot in there that is not being tapped into.
Wow. Very interesting. So what are your plans for the coming year?
Right. I've just set up, launched an online course, which is to help businesses or leaders to enable them to change their mindset. It's kind of changing behavior by taking, you know, understanding how their mind and the brain works. So the online course is, at the moment, it's £1 for 30 days, the first 30 days, so that people can actually go in, try it out, see how it is. And then, you know, there are 12 modules on it. I'm also doing a lot of leadership training and one-to-one coaching and mentoring at the moment for leaders and businesses. And also doing a lot of training. I just did some training for senior leaders in the NHS, in the trust.
Okay.
So, you know, anyone that wants training for their staff or for their leaders, you know, get in touch. I would definitely love to come in and do a lot of, especially with emotional intelligence. The science of emotional intelligence is so powerful, especially for leaders, because once they understand it, it makes a huge difference.
So just to reemphasize that point, the first 30 days are £1.
The first 30 days are £1, but this is not going to last for long.
No, so it's a limited offer.
So it's a limited offer.
So if people want to take advantage of it, they need to move quickly.
Absolutely.
So what types of client are you looking for? So for all the listeners out there, who are we looking to attract to the courses and to your services?
So anyone that has a business who feels that, see, I want more, or I'm not where I should be, it's for you. Or anyone in leadership that feels that I really want to take this, I want to understand leadership more and do better, or anything relating to communications or relationships or taking yourself to the next level, it's for you. Or if you're in a 9-to-5 and you feel that, see, I'm fed up, I really want to step out, but I'm so scared to step out of my comfort zone, this will benefit you massively.
Fantastic. So how can people get in touch with you, Maureen? What's your website address and perhaps your Twitter?
Yeah,
feed?
Website is my name, which is www.maureenchiana, which is C-H-I-A-N-A. Mm-hmm. So maureenchiana.com. And Twitter is at maureenchiana as well. I'm also on LinkedIn, or you could send me an email, maureen@maureenchiana.com. So it's all maureenchiana. So you could get me on either.
Fantastic. And I'll also put some links up on the show's Twitter feed and also the show's Facebook page. It's a fascinating subject. I can't believe how quickly 20 minutes has gone there, Maureen. And I've certainly learned a lot about neuroscience. And if people want to get in touch with you, just to reiterate, Maureen's website address is www.maureenchiana.com. And you can find Maureen on Twitter, which is at Maureen Chiana. So thank you again, Maureen. 20 minutes doesn't do you justice.
No, it doesn't. But I'm looking out here and I'm going, oh gosh, there's so much more to say. But honestly, go to the website or give me a call and, you know, we'll love to help.
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. And thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you very much, Neil.
So it's about time to wrap up. How quickly the hour goes. Just a couple of points. If you'd like to contact me via the show's Facebook page, you can go to the Health Matters Radio Show. If you search Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page, or tweet in between now and next Monday's show, which is at Health Radio Show. Ask a question, ask for a shout out, or just say hello. You can also contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And you can listen again to all previous shows at my website. If you go to the media page, so i-nutrition.co.uk www.kickstart.com/media. All the previous shows are there, and you can listen to the last three shows. We have an iTunes podcast now, so if you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to download the latest shows on the podcast. And also, if you go to SoundCloud, so if you go to soundcloud.com/ The Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to download the latest shows there as well. The next show is Monday, the 5th of February from 11 o'clock. It'll be great to hear from you in the meantime and for you to listen in then. And I'm also looking out for guest slots. So if you'd like to come on the show as a guest, as Maureen has done this morning, and talk about your business and how it can help people, it would be great to have you on the show. So until next Monday, I wish you a happy and healthy week ahead. And continuing with the theme of 1991, we have a song from Michael Jackson from his album Dangerous. And it's not one of the ones that was a massive hit, but I think it's one of his nicer songs. It's Heal the World. And until next Monday, I bid you a farewell and have a great week.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place is much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. If you want to know why, there's a love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see in this bliss we can.